You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter, Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the Phillies playing in American League ballpark, which means the DH rule is in effect, which means interesting things for this Phillies lineup, which has obviously struggled at times this season. But for one thing, it allows Tommy Joseph and Ryan Howard to both be playing at the same time, which gives an interesting look, and maybe it's an interesting way to kind of evaluate these guys, because Howard continues to obviously struggle outside the occasional the power numbers he's put up, and Tommy Joseph has had his moments, 2-for-4 with a home run on Monday. Is there a time in the near future where Joseph could? I know we've talked about this in the past, and the thought is, hey, Howard's making all this money. It's the end of the line for him. He's going to keep playing. But if Joseph continues to hit, is there a time down the line where maybe he gets a little more playing time?
Yeah, I think so. I think Pete McCannon kind of opened that door this week when he said, you know, I'm going to take this situation week to week. Now, even just a week or so, a week ago, he said, listen, I'm planning on keeping it a platoon. I'm not planning on changing anything. But clearly by saying I'm going to take it week to week means that the door is slightly ajar. And I think there's a few reasons for that. And number one is Ryan Howard is really, really struggling. He's hitting about 150, 160, and just not producing consistently enough for a team that is desperate for runs. And Tommy Joseph has been. But second, I think I don't think that they they wanted to give Ryan Howard a good opportunity the first couple months of the season to kind of prove himself. I mean, the plan going into the season was he would be a very effective platoon player against right-handed pitching, and that just has not turned out to be the case. But they wanted to give him a chance. You know what I mean? So in other words, they didn't want to go up to him in the first week of May and say, listen, you know, you're not really hitting. You didn't really hit well in April. We're going to kind of start putting you on the bench a little bit. They wanted him to be able to point to him and say, listen, we gave you 2 full months or 2.5 months to get on track. That's a pretty long grace period. You're not getting it done. We're going to start playing Tommy Joseph a little bit more. And so I think that's why Pete kind of opened that door this week. And so it would not surprise me if, you know, in a week or two or maybe even sooner, you start seeing Tommy Joseph start at first base, even against some right-handed pitching.
And plus, it's a young guy. You want to get him the more at-bats anyway, because that was a discussion we had. Why bring him up if he's not going to get as much time as he would be in AAA? So that's another reason, is to get him that time at the major league level. You mentioned Pete, and he made a strong move, I thought, on Monday night. The best hitter on this team, you could argue, through the first quarter of this season has been Odubel Herrera, or one of them, certainly. And he was 3-for-3 on Monday night at one point, but he ends up getting pulled from the game because he didn't run out a ground ball. Now, Pete McKinnon pulled him from the game. It's obviously a strong message, and I think an important message, right? Because this is still a young team and a team that's kind of learning how to play and maybe surprising to everybody, learning how to win. But that's one of the things you have to do is hustle every play. And he wasn't about to put up with something like that, even in a close ball game with a hitter like Herrera, who's been one of his top offensive guys.
Yeah, I really like the fact that he did this and didn't kind of look the other way and say, you know what, he's 3-for-3. We're desperate for offense. How can I pull out my best hitter? I think Pete is kind of looking at the bigger picture here and wanted to send a very firm reminder to everybody on the team. Remember why we're here and why we are playing as well as we have been. It's because, not necessarily because we had the best talent on the field, but because we've really been scratching runs across when we needed it. We've hustled. Energy is a big part of our game. And you know what, you didn't show any energy here. You didn't show any hustle here. And as a result, I'm going to pull you. And I think that kind of knowing when to push those buttons or when to make those moves is kind of what has made Pete an effective manager with the Phillies. He has a good feel for things, a good read on things. And like I said, it would have been really easy for him just to go, you know, I'll talk to him after the game about it because he is one of our best hitters and I'm trying to win this game. He said, no, I'm going to send a message right now. And just remind everybody, you need to hustle and you need to play with energy because that's really what's going to help us keep playing as well as we have been.
Yeah, and it certainly has more of an impact on the team as a whole to do it in front of the team as opposed to talking to him after the game as well. Well, there's no mystery that pitching has been the reason for the Phillies' surprising start. And one guy who you really couldn't involve in that discussion was Jared Eichhoff, who had struggled. But he gets back on track on Sunday, and I think a real important start. Obviously, it was against the Braves, but the Braves are still a professional baseball team. Seven scoreless innings against Atlanta. And just from looking at the game, seeing the highlights and the talk about the game, it's just about him locating, right? It's the command. It's being able to pinpoint that fastball where he wants it to be.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. When his location is off, he's not quite as effective. And I think what you're seeing a little bit might be just some growing pains of a young guy who, when he came to Philadelphia in that Cole Hamels trade, was, I want to say, he definitely was not a throw-in. By far, he was not a throw-in. But he was not the top three guys in that trade. And I think the fact that he made the big leagues when he did last year and pitched as well as he did last year surprised a lot of people. So I think a lot of people maybe thought he was going to be consistent from the get-go this season. But you're still seeing a young, relatively inexperienced guy and who's trying to find his way a little bit. And he's learning that, you know, hey, I really have to bear down and command the strike zone and command my pitches if I'm going to be effective. But the Phillies really love Jared Eichhoff. I probably said this to you before, but, you know, to the point where teammates and coaches last season and even this season, they just love him on the mound because he's got a little bit of a bulldog personality. He's aggressive, and he works fast. And so I think if he can get through this little rough patch, maybe build off his last start, it could really, you know, it'll be a really encouraging sign for this rotation, you know, when you talk about Nola, Velasquez, and Eichhoff.
Yeah, those three guys and the youth, it's an impressive group. And as we continue through this season and you continue to look for answers offensively as far as this Phillies team goes, you keep peeking in on the minor leagues, Todd. And J.P. Crawford got the promotion from Double-A Reading to Triple-A Lehigh Valley in the last week. He's the Phils' number one prospect, obviously a shortstop who they hope is going to be a centerpiece for this team. Number three prospect in all of baseball, according to MLBPipeline.com. So he makes that move, and he had spent a good amount of time at Double-A, probably a season's worth of at-bats. Are we going to see J.P. Crawford at the big league level this season before? I assume we'll see him in September, but is there a chance we see him before that?
I think there's a good chance that happens, but I think this is kind of a cop-out answer, but it really does depend on how he plays down there. You know, if he's hitting 250 and struggling a little bit, you know, it'll be a real easy decision for him. You know, hasn't really shown enough to really warrant a promotion in the big leagues. But if he really turns it on in Triple-A, and he's hitting, you know, 280, 290, 300, showing some power, still walking more than he's striking out, and really showing a lot of that potential and a lot of that talent, then I think he's going to really enter that conversation in terms of a, you know, July or an August call-up. And that would be very, very interesting to see kind of what the Phillies do there. You know, they could move Freddie Galvis to second base, or they could move Freddie Galvis to the bench. But certainly, I would not be surprised, let me put it that way, if the Phillies sent out a release at some point in July or August saying, you know, J.P. Crawford has been promoted to the Phillies if he is playing well.
He certainly, you mentioned Freddie Galvis, and Galvis, I think you know what you're getting as far as what he's going to do offensively, but the positive is you know what you're going to get defensively, too, and not only has he shown how good he can be at shortstop, but he played some great second base for this team as well in past seasons. To me, that seems like the more logical move, to keep Freddie Galvis's glove on the field every day, move him to second, add Crawford, even though you know the bat's probably not going to play that great for Galvis. Am I crazy, or is that the more logical move?
No, I totally agree with you there. Because a lot of people, I guess, just naturally assume that if Crawford comes up, Cesar Hernandez will remain at second base. But I think the Phillies look at Freddie Galvis as a far superior defensive player. You mentioned Freddie Galvis at second base. He was pretty brilliant playing second base for Chase Utley a couple years ago when Chase started the season on the DL or was out for various reasons. He was a very, very good defensive second baseman. And if you look at the offensive numbers right now between Freddy Galvis and Cesar Hernandez, they're pretty identical. They're not far off. In fact, just the other day when I looked, they both had a 639 OPS. So you sit there and you go, okay, both of them pretty similar offensively. Freddy Galvis actually has a little bit more power. He's shown a knack for some big hits and some big spots. But then you look at the defensive side of it and you say, well, Freddy is going to be a better defensive player. And for a team like this, for a front office that has really placed a heavy emphasis on defense, that leads me to believe, like you, that if J.P. Crawford comes up, they might switch, put Freddie over to second base and maybe turn Cesar into more of a utility player.
One more interesting thing to watch in what's become a fascinating season at the quarter mark for this Phillies team in 2016. All right, great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.